What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Hey, I want to thank you guys for listening to the last show. You know, the Ace interviews always seem to do well with you guys. You write me funny letters about, you know, your opinions on what Ace is doing and what he's saying. And anyway, he's kind of crazy, isn't he? If you're listening on iTunes, can you go and leave a review? I know I ask all the time, but they're really important. So just go on to iTunes, click the thing where it says review, and leave a review, hopefully a nice one, or at least halfway nice, about the show. I really appreciate you guys listening every week. Also, if you go to podcastrockcity.com, you can pick up a t-shirt, Podcast Rock City t-shirt. Ken Mills from the Podcast designed the shirt through the website, and you can pick them up, and they're not really expensive, and they'll be really cool Christmas presents, I guess. I don't know. It's that time of year. I'm recording this the day before Thanksgiving, which means Kiss is playing in the parade tomorrow, which is gotta be pretty cool. You know, I'm nowhere near New York City. I really wanted to be this year, but the cards didn't, you know, fall in that in my favor. Actually, at the beginning of the year, I said I'm going to drive to New York to see the parade this year, and then something came up and I wasn't able to do it, and then of course Kiss announced they're going to be in the parade, which sucks for me because I was going anyway. Thank you guys for all the mail that I got on the last show. Don't forget Podcast Rock City 1, that's the number 1, at gmail.com. PodcastRockCity1@gmail.com. I'm going to be recording an interview with J.R. Smalling from the original Kiss crew. Their book is about to finally come out in a hardback version where you can hold it. You know, they've been selling each chapter online digitally. Until they raised the money to be able to have them printed. So it's going to be really cool. I'm excited about that. I want to hear about who designed the cover. They had a contest, and you know, I interviewed him months ago when this was just getting started. So I'm very excited to see how it's gone. The Kiss cruise was over, but I am going to have Andy Moyen on in a few weeks to talk about his super Kiss fan, Andy Moyen. Sorry, I got to get that right. About his he basically wanted to give me a no holds barred opinion of the Kiss cruise. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means he had an awful time or a great time, but we're going to do that. But I'm also going to have him on today. Andy went to Vegas to see Kiss, and then he turned around and went and saw Ace play his solo album, his solo tour. So we're gonna get that. We're gonna get two reviews. I'm really excited about it. Okay, so please welcome to the show yet again, super Kiss fan Andy Moyen. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing pretty good. I should say it's been a wild whirlwind of the last half a month or so, but it's been wicked awesome.
Wicked awesome.
Tiring at the same time.
Absolutely. As soon as I met you, that was like the first thing we all were saying to each other, wicked awesome. It's so crazy. and so you did Kiss Cruise 4, and we hung out a little bit as much as we could because you're all over the place. And then And then when that was all over, you waited, I guess it was about, 2 weeks? And then you went to Vegas.
No. One week. Basically, I got home from KK4 on November 4th, and then the following Friday, I flew out to Vegas.
Okay.
So I went to see the show on the 14th and 15th.
And then, and that was, correct me if I'm wrong, that was your 100th Kiss show.
Correct. Basically, my parents took me back when I was 6 and a half to see the Last Night of Destroyer tour, and Springfield, Massachusetts. So that was number one. So a couple of friends helped me out, and Bobby Jeremiska, Julie Frazier, Tina Malloy, Denise and Jeff Hopkins. We made it all happen, and my parents moved out to New Mexico about 5 or 6 years ago. So the thought was, wait a minute. I did all the calculations, got all my chart seats, and that was going to be show number 100. So we get my mother to fly out there, and I fly and meet her, and we celebrate my 100th show, and for her taking me to my first show.
That is awesome. Okay, and then you saw Ace.
Basically, I flew home on the 16th of November, and on the 21st, the last Friday, I saw Ace.
Okay, so what we're going to do here is, I already told everybody that's listening that you and I are going to do a no-holds-barred review of KK4, and that'll be in a future show, not long from now. We're just kind of let's get settled in for the holidays. But what we're going to talk about right now is we're gonna split it up. We're gonna start with Vegas. I want to hear your review of, you know, what it was like to be there, what the hotel was like, you know, everybody that missed it, you know, what the show was like, the light show, you know, to the best of your memory. I'm sure that yeah, you got me. Anyway, all right, so like hit me with it. Let's go.
All right, basically flew in on the Friday, on the 14th. Met my mother, met Jeff, Denise, Tina, Julie, Bobby, and basically what it is they booked a hotel. The Hard Rock Hotel is okay. I would say there are more fancier hotels than which everybody tells me. But the thing about it was really cool is that the head kissed up everywhere. There was like banners here and there, and you had to look around. You had to poke around. You just couldn't like say one spot. You basically had to roam around the whole hotel area, which is pretty big. So if you've never been, and if KISS comes back, which I'm telling you right now, KISS is going to do another Regency there in the future. And I was told last Friday by someone who is high up in the Regency of the KISS thing. So it is going to happen again. Okay, so I guess it was huge success. So definitely without a doubt, they are going to do it again. And I don't know when, so I don't know dates or nothing, but they are definitely going to do it again, they're saying.
Awesome.
But, how do I explain this? It was like basically you go to a bar, you sit there, you look around the bar. They had like little bar, kiss specialty drinks, and they had a little, you know, stand up for them. You know, they had one called Love Gun, Kiss Gold, Sonic Boom, Animalize, Dynasty, True Confession, Psycho Circus, and War Machine. I mean, they had all these fancy drink things, and then, in one of the bars, in the middle of the main bar, they had, like the kid said, Kiss Vegas, all the way around it. And if you sat on one side of the bar and you talk, you could hear people from the other side of the bar talk. It's a weird kind of thing. And then also, in the middle of them, you had to look for them with tables. And they had Kiss things. They had they had Dressed to Kill on them. The guys were all dressed up in suits. They had nice tables. And then they just had their faces. But you had to go look to the tables because they were kind of spread out. The only thing that was kind of bumming, we found out, is that they made Kiss Casino chips for Vegas, which was awesome, but the problem is they were gone. I guess they were sold out the immediate same day. And then the only way you could really get them, I guess you had to go to a table and basically buy a bunch of chips, basically, and then start looking through them to see if the Kiss ones are there. And I heard they didn't make that many. So that was a kind of a bummer thing for a lot of people. So somebody went there probably the first time and released them and wiped them all out. So that was kind of a bummer thing. But then they had what they call this place called Lucky's 13, which is open 24 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week. And they had like little Kiss menus that they would put into the thing, which everybody was grabbing them.
Right, of course.
You know, they must have had to make thousands upon thousands of these things because, you know, they put them in, they disappear in like 12 seconds because they had specialties. One was called Heaven's on Fire, another was called Love Gun, and another thing was called Lick It Up. And basically, on the other side, they had the whole Kiss thing with their faces on, and said Vegas. So, you know, everybody's scooping them.
Of course, it instantly becomes Kiss merch.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, too, is that they put them down, they look, you grab them, they disappear, the employees kind of look at you, but I think they kind of knew that what was going on.
Right, they knew.
Yeah, and every employee had a shirt, had a specialty staff shirt, which, you know, every participant knows that, you know, we're all looking for something unique and different. And of course, every employee must have been asked 10,000 times a day, would you sell that shirt? Would you sell that shirt? And I know every employee got 2 shirts apiece, they were told. So, and they couldn't get rid of them, or they couldn't sell them. They couldn't do nothing until after the Vegas thing was completely done. And so I would imagine those things are going to, appear on eBay.
Yeah, probably for a pretty penny.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Also, they had, they also, when you had a room, they made a special KISS key card. And it was, the dress to kill, it's a photo. And basically, your key card was that. That was pretty awesome. So if you stayed there, you got a key card. Everybody got a key card.
Cool.
and trying to ask for extra key cards, it didn't work. They also had door things on your door. Basically, say you don't want to be bugged for the day or the night or whatever. Basically, it still had the same thing. It said KISS Rock Vegas, had the face on it, and said November 5th through the 23rd. And then, but this is pretty cool, though. It says on the bottom, it says, "These are crazy, crazy nights. Do not disturb," is on one side. And then on the other side, it says, they had a picture of them standing all up, and this one says the Vegas 5th through the 23rd. But down the top says, "I want to rock and roll night, party every day. Do not disturb."
That's awesome.
And everybody was grabbing them. So if anybody saw them hanging out on somebody's door, you know they weren't going to laugh, or they weren't there to see KISS.
Right. Because
you know they were going to disappear. Because anybody that was a KISS fan and had them, they were not going to.
They were not going to put them on the door.
Correct. And if you had a room, inside the room there was a magazine. It was like your tour, or your guide to everything Vegas in Las Vegas. And when you look through the middle of it, there's a whole big layout for KISS. There's like a layout thing. It's the same picture, same thing, same plane in Vegas, and all that.
Awesome.
And then also they had like another thing, something called a rocker, and it had the KISS, it had KISS on it, plus whatever, some other things that were going on in the month and stuff, and the KISS was actually inside of it, like a big giant pick. Now, the thing with that is that, I'm telling you, everywhere you kind of roamed around, you had to look for KISS things. I mean, on the I think it was the Paradise side, because Bobby was staying on the Paradise side of the casino, and one of the elevators actually had a whole big thing of KISS on it. They were in a big giant pit, So, you had to just roam around looking for pictures. And also, there's a place called a Pink Taco, and they had specialty KISS things, and they had signs out, and then they had a dinner special. But it was very hard to grab one of those Pink Taco dinner specials, because they seemed to catch on that people were like, basically, "Oh, can I look at one?" And they would take them. So I don't think they weren't really handing them out to look at them.
Right, yes.
Now, also they had there is that basically they had like a KISS store, and it had like merchandise, like newer stuff, I would say, remakes of older shirts. They had I don't know if people see enough. They have shirts that put the solos back, the solo faces back on them. They're coming back out, stuff like that.
Right.
And they also had pictures of photographs that, like, the original photographs that people had taken pictures of the band, when they first started, then they got the middle, and then the end, and, going through all the years, and then you could buy them. And some of the lithographs or photographs are, like, number 1 out of 50, number 2 out of 50. So they're really, like, really low numbers. It was just wild just going through. And, of course, they showed that, the bookcase that, the thing with all the albums inside of it.
The road case.
Yeah, road case. They had one out and display all open so you could actually go through it all, check it all out. So that was pretty cool. And then also they had a metal, I forgot who was done by, but they had a picture of the original guys, the original 4. It was 16 feet long, but it was made out of metal. But when you got up close, it was pictures of KISS. It was like little pictures, and they made this thing. It was like 16 feet long, but it was metal. It was amazing.
So
I couldn't believe it.
It's like mosaic is what I think they call that.
Yeah, yeah. But I've never seen anything like it in metal, though. That's why it was just pretty crazy. And then they did have some KISS Casino, get game things there. Slot machines.
Yeah, I saw pictures of those. That was like the solo faces on them, and
It wasn't the big ones like you saw last year. It was a more of a, you know, downgraded ones. But they, you know, that was cool seeing them. But everywhere you looked, it was different things. And they had a John Varvaro store, and they had his t-shirts in there and stuff, the suits that the guys wear. So you could buy kind of almost like a one that they had, you know, like I had worn, his had worn. And there was just stuff everywhere. It was just so, in the fans, of course, you know, that now we're going from just right on, and then all of a sudden you just see kid fans everywhere. You know,
right.
Basically, Kiss fans overran the area, which is awesome because everybody says hi to each other, everybody talks to each other. Of course, and a bunch of people had just got off the Kiss cruise, so it was pretty amazing, you know, at that in that point. And then we got lucky. Well, on the 15th, Paul was doing a book signing, so you could, you know, buy a book, go in here, see Paul, get a picture taken, and do his book. So that was pretty neat, too. So I guess I guess if you watch the schedule, they kept changing things all the time with that.
Yeah. So I also saw a picture of you sitting, I don't know if it was in a restaurant or at a bar, and Tommy was sitting behind you.
Yeah, actually, that was the first day we got there on the 14th. We went to get checked in. We checked in on the... We were on the other side of the hotel, and I'm sorry, I forgot the other part of the HRH, I think they called it. Mm-hmm. Our rooms were on that side, so there's two different areas. So when we were walking to check in, actually Eric walked by us. You know, I just said, hi, Eric, and he just kept walking. Didn't want to bother him too much, you know?
Right.
You know how it goes, you know, just say hi, whatever. And then, on Saturday, of course, everybody knows I have a tendency to not sleep when it comes down to this stuff. I don't sleep. So Friday, by the time I had got to Vegas on Friday, you know, saw the show, got out of it, and then the next morning, my mother crashed early. And, you know, she crashed about midnight, and I went to bed about 5 a.m., and then she got up, and we went down to breakfast, and then Jeff and Denise just slept in a little bit later. So then we caught up with them, and they were eating breakfast about 11 or 11:30 or so at the Lucky 13, and we go in there to say hi and stuff. We're sitting there with them, and I got up. I'm like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom, you know, whatever. And next time I turned around, and I'm like, hey, look who's sitting there. And they're like, who? And I'm like, look, it's Tommy. Tommy's sitting there with another dude.
Pretty cool.
And I didn't want to tell my mother right away because I know my mother. She gets excited like I do, and, you know, so... We'll wait until they finish, you know what I mean? Didn't want to bother them. And then somebody came up to him, and he started talking to him, so we kind of got restless, and then he kind of, like, left. But then he came back, and he sat back down. You know, and they were finally finished and stuff, and they looked like they were getting ready to go. And my mother goes, I just want to go over here and say hi. She goes, I've never met Tommy before. You know, she goes, because my mother's met basically everybody else, and she's never met Tommy, so she wanted to go over there. And she goes, I'll go over there and do it. My mother's only, like, I don't know, 5'2". She goes, I'll go do it. So she went over there and she just said hi to me, and she started talking. But she, you know, everybody wants to know where I get the jibber jab from. You meet my mother, you find out. She's awesome, you know. So I gave her a couple of a minute or two, and then I get up there and walked over for my mom. My mother said, you know, said, excuse me, Tommy, I'm sorry for my mother.
That's terrific.
You know, body. You know, but he said there was no problem and everything else. And my mother was like, oh, this is my son's 100th show right here. You know, I took him to his birth. The other guy was intrigued by it. And Tommy's like, wow, that's impressive. And then I said, oh, thanks, Tommy. And I said, thanks for liking my Hotter Than Hell costume that I wore on the KK4. And he's like, oh, that was you. And I said, yeah, he goes, that was pretty neat. So, you know, that was pretty cool that he kind of remembered that. And then, you know, I didn't want to bother them too much. So, you know, we just said, you know, goodbye, you know, have a nice, you know, good show. And I could tell Tommy, I think he was sick, too. I think he kind of got the cold. You could just kind of tell. So, the way he was sniffling and sneezing, I think that, you know. So, I think everybody kind of got that cruise crud
from the Kiss cruise crud.
Yeah. So, you know, I just hit fast. I said, hey, Ma, you know, I go, Tommy, you don't mind my mother takes a picture. He's like, no, sit down. So, my mother sat down. I took a smile and... That's that.
Yeah, I saw the picture. All right, so let's talk about the show now. You went two nights in a row. Did the set list waver at all between the two nights?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Were there any deep cuts?
Not really. No. I would say for the people who've been like a lot of shows like I have, and if you hear those songs. And you go, well, I wish they changed it up. You know what I mean? Like, Creature of the Night was new, basically.
Right.
or they hadn't played that in a long time. But, you know, we had just heard off the Kiss crew, so basically it's like night one of the Kiss crews minus the, you know, like the Ult or something. But in reality, people got to really understand, if you had not seen Kiss that many times, that's actually a really kick-ass
set list. Right.
Because you're talking like Creatures and Deuce and Parasite and War Machine. I don't know. Those are the weak, you know what I mean? Those are actually really good songs.
Right.
So, but there were two perspectives from that night, too. The first night, we were in the back because originally, I really wasn't going to go. For how bizarre it sounds, you know, originally we weren't going to go, but anyways, that's a different story. So we got two different looks from night one and night two, because the 14th, we were in a bunch of us were in the back, so we looked at everything from a full perspective on the back side, and then the next night, we were down below, like the 20th row, so you got a whole different look on the show, completely different look, and I'll tell you, Kiss is made, I don't want to say made for Vegas, but what they did was unreal to me. That has to be one of the best, like, stages I've seen them do in a long time. It's like it looks like they took a combination from, because the lights in the front were kind of run off. It looks like kind of like a Dynasty thing. They used the green lasers, which they came from like the Hot in the Shade tour. I mean, they had the screens that split, and then it went to four stories on the side, you know, and then of course the one in the back, right?
Right.
But the thing is, though, when you're in the back and you're looking from the back, it looks a lot different from when you're down on the floor, because the first night when we're sitting there, because a lot of people, believe it or not, people say, oh, they don't sit in Kiss shows. Well, I got news for you. About 80% of the people that sit in the back in that theater, they have to sit down. Because number one, if you stand up at certain points, you can't see. Because from what I understand, when we saw it, Paul had a catwalk, and it went, the catwalk was all the way across. From the original first date, he had two little catwalks. They flew him to one, and then he flew to another one. Well, I guess it was too shaky. So instead, they built a whole catwalk that goes all the way across. So the catwalk basically is lowered. It's lower. So if you're sitting in the back, you couldn't see the catwalk. You knew there's something there, but you couldn't see it, but you could see the crystal ball. You know, the ball. And then at a certain point, the thing raised up. So next thing, you know, some of our view gets cut off if you sat in the back. So you had to almost sit down because you had to kind of look underneath the catwalk to see what else was going on. So that's how that ended up being. So it was kind of weird. So I don't think a lot, even though it was a great show or anything, I don't think the people that sat right in the back were expecting that. So their view got kind of cut off at times, which a lot of people moaned and groaned about it. So I think they didn't really think about what was going to happen to the people in the back, you know?
Right. So, and the big video screens, you know, they utilized them through the whole show?
Yeah, they did. The thing is, there's like four or five stories tall, and it's almost like they're more than larger than life, you know? Because usually, you know, you have their back screen all the time, they have Kiss in it. But, you know, the drums are there and everything else is there, so you get a big view. But now you're talking one on each side, that it's right there. I mean, they're in your face, and you're hitting, and they're like superhumans. They're like giants. They're like Godzillas, you know?
Right.
Just so many. Now, the thing is that when you sat in the back, you didn't realize there were things on the ceiling because you're up on the back. So, unless you got on the floor, you look, and next you know, because the night two, we were on the floor, we looked up and we're like, what the hell? There were like these screens, LED screens, that wrapped. I don't know, maybe six of them, because they were like, you know, like a LED, then a spot, then another LED, you know, there was stuff on the ceiling, and it wrapped back to about 50, 60 rows or something. The first night, we didn't see it, because you can't see it, because you're up top, but when you get to the floor, and you look up, and you go, wow.
Right, so it was like seeing two different shows. I haven't watched a lot of that video, because I did hear that, I think that they just recorded one of the last shows for a video. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I think they did, actually. They recorded, I guess, Saturday night. Maybe they done some Friday night, but yeah, they recorded. So I think maybe the DVD's going to come out.
Yeah, that would be really awesome. And I didn't watch a lot of video, but I did see that those screens you're talking about started on the stage, went up, and then ran towards the crowd on the ceiling.
No, basically what they did is it looked like a big giant blackout, and everybody's like, what's the blackout? But when they start splitting, it showed an icon in each one of them. And then when they split, two ones, the one to the left and the right, and they went together, and they went straight up, and that's it.
Oh,
The other ones were already on the ceiling, up and wrapped. It was already on the ceiling.
Gotcha.
So, and it was like, it's almost like they took the spider from Monster and kind of like flipped it upside down in ways, and they utilized some of the spider lights and all that stuff. So, I mean, it was definitely intense, and they used a ton of confetti, of course, on Rock and Roll Night and stuff, and then, you know, when Paul flew up to do Love Gun, he was, the catwalk seemed to be a little bit shaky.
Right.
So Paul was kind of like really holding on to it at times as it was shaking, and he's doing stuff. You know, because he's walking, you know, he's just running back and forth, waving to everybody, and, you know, when he can and whatever, you know. And but you could tell he was grabbing the catwalk. So the catwalk wasn't exactly the most stable thing in the world, I don't think.
I got you.
You know, and of course, Gene went up in the air
now,
during God of Thunder.
Now, did he go up as high as he normally does? Or
No, it didn't seem
like it in the one video I saw.
No, it does not go up as high as he usually does. Yeah, but Tommy and Paul went up when they do Lick It Up, when they do the Who thing in the middle.
Right.
But they did not have the things for the side at the end for all, you know, for Gene and Tom to go up at the end. Which was, I would figure they would have done something like that since it is Vegas, but maybe they just don't have the space, or they can't put it in there somehow. But the stage is bigger than what you think. You think, well, this place is only holds, what, 3,000, I think they said, but the stage is pretty damn big.
Gotcha. So all in all, in the end, you spent 2 days seeing shows there. It was worth the money?
Yeah, it was definitely worth the money. It was cool because it was just not just the Kiss show. It was seeing everybody, the Hard Rock doing all these fancy things. And of course, across the street, actually, when you walk out, believe it or not, it's weird, there's a Hard Rock hotel where you sleep at, and there's a bunch of stuff. But then they actually have the Hard Rock a little bit further, if you go outside, it's another building, basically. It's another Hard Rock, basically. And that had, Gene Simmons, believe it or not, Gene Simmons' Crazy Nights video with his face painted on that.
Right.
And a big Chris Trump thing, which was cool, right? Everybody thought that thing had disappeared. There it is. There's a little bit of proof it's there. And, they had costumes. They had, Sonic Booms or the, because basically they had one, they had Sonic Booms and, at the Hard Rock, with the building, and then it had one at the other one. Confusing. And also, I have to say though, didn't when Kiss came before you buy your merchandise at the stand?
Right.
I gotta say this. They knew that this was gonna happen. They knew we were gonna play Red Sea, and we got up there to buy, Vegas stuff, and the last, it's a two-way street. I'm like, thank you for my wallet, because I get to save money, but they really dropped the bomb, I think, on the merchandise for Vegas, because basically there was two shirts, there was a hoodie, and a woman's shirt, and that was it. There was nothing else that said Vegas. Everything else said 40th anniversary tour, Monster tour, whatever, and every extra stuff. No. The only other thing that I saw that was new that I'd never seen was a bracelet. It looked like a chain bracelet, because I grabbed it. Looks like a bicycle chain. It says Kiss on it, and I grabbed that. But other than that, it was a lot of the stuff that, like I said, the 40th anniversary Monster, it looks like they were trying to get rid of that stuff, you know? So, in a way, it was kind of bummed out to see, like, a couple more Vegas things. You think they would have been there a whole month, matching the money?
Yeah, this does not make any sense, because they underestimated what was going to happen on the cruise as well. We'll talk about that, when we do our review, but... but they ran out of stuff.
Yeah, and then they always run out of stuff. And, of course, I think a lot of people actually were kind of bummed when they walked up to the stand in Vegas, because, they had two T-shirts, regular T-shirts, one woman's shirt, a hoodie, and basically that's it. It said Vegas on it. So a lot of people were actually looking for more.
Yeah.
You know, that.
You know, the so no special Las Vegas tour book or anything like that?
No, zero, nothing.
Well, yeah, they really dropped the ball there.
Yeah, I think they, you know, I mean, it's great for my wallet, though.
Sure, I get that. But, you know, the whole thing is that you wanted the stuff.
Yeah, I thought they would have had something. I mean, I could understand not a tour book because if you've only been there a week before that, you know, how do you take the pictures, get a book ready, and get it going?
So if you know? This does this again, you tell everybody out there, save your money and go. Would you rate this above or below the Kiss Cruise?
Oh, geez. I have to say, because it's the Kiss Cruise is just more than just one night and two nights and the adventure. It's, oh, man. See, because you don't get the full effect on the Kiss Cruise that you do in Vegas, because, you know, you have a full stage.
Right.
So that's different in that way.
But you have the people on the cruise.
Yeah, but you know they can't do, you know, you've been on the Kiss Cruise, Joe. You know they can't do much in the theater. They can only do so much.
Right.
And it's even more intimate. But I want to get into that Kiss Cruise later, the good, the bad, and the ugly about that. Then we can kind of compare. But I would definitely, if you had never been to this, and also, too, across the street from the Hard Rock is the Kiss Mini Golf. So that even gives you more incentive to go, because now you have that, too. So, and that was cool because, Christina, you know, I'll say, the mini golf, you know, they did karaoke for people. They had a stage outside. They were playing Kiss tunes. You go inside, there's Kiss merchandise up the Yazoo. There's stuff you can just look at. You take pictures. You play Kiss mini golf. You can drink beer. You hang around with the fans. You start singing. I mean, it's a win-win, definitely.
Yeah. So,
you know?
So, in your opinion, if you're saving the money to do one of the things, like if they say we're going to do Vegas again in November of next year, right after the cruise, you would say,
"Oh, go to if Vegas. If I had to choose between a Kiss Cruise or Vegas,
yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
I take the cruise.
You pick the cruise
because the Kiss Cruise is different." They, you know, even though we want to hear more obscure songs, come on, Paul, we're going to get into this.
Right, yeah. But,
you know, they do play obscure songs when they do, even though they don't do that many right as much right now as we're going to get into this the next time. But I still Kiss Cruise because not just the band, you get to take the picture with them. You also get to meet a lot more of your friends from like, all over the world. I'm not saying they wouldn't go to Vegas, but I don't know, there's something about the Kiss Cruise that brings a lot of great people together from all over the world, and they all get together to hang out again, and and the Kiss Cruise is not going to be there forever. You know, I mean, they do this on a yearly basis,
right,
you know?
Right.
The Vegas, Kiss could do Vegas, basically. I'm not saying they can't do the Kiss Cruises anytime, but Kiss in Vegas, they can, you know what I mean?
Right. They could fly there in the morning.
Yeah, they're set up for that. That's, you know, like I said, the Kiss Vegas thing is basically set up. Now, it would be cool if Kiss does the Vegas thing in the future and they decided to change the songs up, you know, really mix it up every couple of shows. Or, I mean, throw people off one night, you know, throw this out, play this instead, you know, do that kind of stuff. And then it would make Vegas really, you know, over the top.
Right. Okay, so let's give it a ranking. Let's say 5 stars is amazing, 1 star is awful. Where do you put it?
I'm giving it like a 4.5, almost a 5. The Vegas, that was amazing. It still was great. You know, you go with Fred. I just, you know, it's just awesome.
It's wicked awesome.
Yeah, it is wicked awesome.
Wicked awesome.
But I'm crossing my fingers. It's not right after Kiss Cruise next year. It might be, but I'm hoping not. I'd like to have a little bit of the break, so you can kind of get back from the Kiss Cruise, get the, you know how it is, Joe.
Yeah. Even on the plane on the way home, you're like, God, I can't wait to just get home.
I mean, it's like every day, Tom, and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, I want to book K5 now. Where is it? Give me the booking numbers. Let's go.
Yeah,
do this
everybody's
again.
Into it.
Greetings from Jandel, Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast wants to invite you to a rock and roll party. Bon Jovi have not, D-Rock, and Clinton Harris are the strangest Kiss podcast known to our scientists at this time.
Pretty mystical.
Your Kiss Army bros celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Kiss! You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher and blah, blah, blah. Just Google it. Thank you and keep on rocking.
They are serious.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
This is a really big moment.
Hi, I'm Cassius Morris, host of Kiss Podcast Creatures of the Net. Our show content includes current events of the hottest band in the land, exclusive interviews, and the trials and tribulations of being a Kiss fan. You can check out our show at www.creaturesofthenet.com and on Facebook or Twitter. And if you don't know the website name by now,
well, you better f***ing let it!
We'll see you here.
Kistery Science Theater, the most civilized...
Yeah.
Oh, f***.
Oh, f***. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theater. We bust balls because we care.
Doctors define modern rock disorder as a sudden, intense drop in musical taste affecting all facets of the victim's lives and the lives of those around them. Over 20 million Americans suffer. Do you? Is your newfound love of Axe body spray, leather wristbands, and mountains of hair care products driving those close to you crazy? Has your overwhelming desire to crank Nickelback, drink a sixer of Natty Ice, and yell at girls from the back of a pickup truck seriously impaired your work or social life? The Decibel Geek Podcast offers new hope. The Decibel Geek Podcast, the only podcast proven effective for MRD. The Decibel Geek Podcast corrects the chemical imbalance created by listening to bands like Theory of a Dead Man and Three Doors Down, so that with time and your hosts Chris and Aaron's help, you can move toward recovery. MRD hurts. The Decibel Geek Podcast can help. Visit www.decibelgeek.com to begin the road to recovery.
It's time for some cheap talk. You're listening to Trick Chat.
Their mommy's all right. Their daddies are all right. They just seem a little weird. They even got their Kiss records out. This is Ken from the Podkiss. Join me, Matt, Andrew, and BJ as we talk about four great guys and three great chords. Cheap Trick. If you're a Kiss fan, chances are you've checked them out. So please check out our show, Cheap Talk with Trick Chat, available for now in the Podkiss feed.
Keep cheap tricking.
Someone, somewhere is needing to hear from you. Someone needing to know that you care. Care enough to give the gift of Podkiss. Tell a friend about Podkiss today. Download us on iTunes, friend us on Facebook, and rock your ass out. Podkiss.
That's a picture of Joseph Kiss Sr., who came up with the vision of Kiss in 1753.
Right, Joseph Kiss.
That's, of course, a picture of him without makeup.
That's right, Mr. Joseph Kiss Sr.
All right.
Hi, Kiss fans. This is J.R. Smalling, and I'm pleased to announce the release of our new book, Out on the Streets, written by me and the other members of the original Kiss crew. This book chronicles the glory days of the hottest band in the land from 1974 to 1976. You'll hear the real tales of what it was like to be on the road with Kiss during those early years. For more information or to purchase, visit our website, www.theoriginalkisscrew.com. That's crew with a K. You wanted the book and you got it. And we hope that you enjoy it.